in Iraq, which is Babylonia, and in Syria, and in Iran, and in southern Russia, there are Jews who are not Ashkenazim, but they are not really Sephardic either. You know, all the Chinese look alike, so we Ashkenazim lump everybody together. But that's not true. Their tradition is different. The Jews from Iraq are descended from Bavelyet. That's an unbroken chain of 2,500 years that again was cut in our time. The Jews from Persia and the Jews in the Caucasus, they've been there a very, very long time. They are not refugees from Spanish Jewry. And the Jews in Yemen, as I mentioned to you when we discussed the Rambam, they've been there the longest period of time. They've been there probably from the time of the First Temple. And they are also not Sephardim. They're Yemenites, which is a different ethnic group, different customs. But since they're not Ashkenazic, so the Ashkenazim who, for a great variety of reasons, for the last 350 years have really run the show among the Jewish people, so they lumped them all. Everybody that's not an Ashkenazi is lumped as being a Sephardi, but that is not accurate. These people have nothing to do with the story of Spanish Jewry and Muranos or anything. They never came into contact. In Europe itself, the Muranos fled, as I mentioned, to Holland, where they became very wealthy. The Jews developed Holland. Maybe that's... I don't know how to put it, but Holland, perhaps more than any other Western European country, has very strong Jewish influences. The city of Amsterdam was built by Jews. And the Jews made it into the largest port in Europe. The Dutch East India Company was financed and headed by Jews, even though they did not take a prominent public role, but they were the driving force behind it. The Jews were the patrons of the famous Dutch masters of the arts. That's why so much of the art of Holland is on Jewish subjects. Rembrandt, for instance, lived in the Jewish neighborhood, and he was supported by Jews. And that's true of a number of other famous Jewish artists. If you've ever had the opportunity to be in Amsterdam and to see the Rijksmuseum, which is one of the most magnificent art museums in the world, so there they have, I think, 45 Rembrandts, including the famous Night Watch. Well, you know, after you see a Rembrandt, you don't go home and paint by numbers anymore. And you'll see that out of the 45 Rembrandts, 15 or 16 are on Jewish subjects. A woman lighting the candles for Sabbath, a Jewish wedding, the Jewish bride, the rabbi, the scholar, or on biblical subjects, Old Testament subjects, the prophet Jeremiah. And there also are a number of paintings by his students and colleagues of the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue when it was being built, of other Jewish themes. They were very preoccupied with Jewish themes. And the reason for that was because the Jews were the ones that backed them. Just to show you the extent of the interest of Jewish people in art, and also, it's a good rabbinic story, you know, to show you how the relationship between rabbis and their congregants never changes. The famous rabbi of Amsterdam in the late 1600s was Rabbi Tzvi Ashkenazi, Chacham Tzvi, who was a world-recognized genius. He'd been a rabbi in Eastern Europe before, and now he was the rabbi in Amsterdam. To celebrate the 30th anniversary of his being the rabbi in Amsterdam, his congregants got together and they voted that they were going to give him a gift. And the gift was a portrait by a famous Dutch artist.